Praise God. So Jesus in the word, actually the word says, and he told people that the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And holidays can be very traditional, and they should be. Just in our little tiny family. By the way, Brian's here. Can we give him a hand? So traditions are great. We have our own little traditions. We love keeping them. We have a special way that we do everything on Christmas Day and so on. They add to your life, but we have to be careful that our traditions are not taking over the real power of that day. And the real power of that day is so incredibly profound that it's going to take us forever and eternity to understand when we're up there learning from God everything that he's done for us because he loves us. He loves us so much, people. He has been extravagant with us. He has been generous to us. He has been kind to us. He has been patient with us. He is loving to us. And he sends us a rescue, a salvation, every single day of our lives. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Yes. And he came to this earth for you. For you. I heard one minister many years ago say, if you had been the only human on the planet, he would have died for you. He would have come for you, because that's how important each and every one of us are to the Lord. He created you. You may not ever own him as your father, but he created you. He is your father. He's everybody's father. Amen? Praise God. Tell the person next to you, he is your father. Praise God. So, unto us a child is born. I have a lot of beautiful little nativity pictures, and so let's see what happens here, okay? Yay! I'm learning! Okay, sorry about that. No, you don't understand. I have a lot of pressure in my house. I live with geniuses, and they can't understand why I have not learned what they know. And I'm like, can you cook a good steak? I know what I know. Anyway, the remarkable and miraculous appearing of a king. I'm going to have little snippets of the actual story of the nativity and how it all came apart, came to pass. But I asked him to lead me. I wanted this to bless you. So I believe I heard from him. And these are the things that he pointed out to me. Amen. So I'm going to point them out to you. Mary was a very, very special young lady. She was a beautiful, godly little virgin. She was like around 15 or 16 when all this happened to her. She was very young. One day, we're going to meet these people. One day, we're going to ask Mary, how did you feel truly when they asked you to take on people in those days? If you had a child out of wedlock, you were stoned to death. There was a very high penalty for something like that. And this 15-year-old young lady had courage to say yes to the will of God. 15 years old. Amen. What an example for us. And she took on this courage and bravery and dignity when she should have been ashamed and put away and hidden. She brought in the King of Kings. Amen. And that's what faithfulness does. You never know when you are faithful what you're going to bring about. Miracles are just waiting to happen at your hand. Amen. Just like it did with her. She stood up. She took a chance. She trusted God. And that's all it takes. Amen. For us to stand up, trust God, and take that chance. So this is Mary. We're going to pick up with her. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I don't know if you know this, but part of what you received when you got born again was the favor of God. We are to walk in the favor of God. I'm going to tell you a very quick testimony so you can understand. I was a baby Christian, maybe born again like 2 or 3 months. Lisa was 9 years old, and I asked her, she wanted to go with me because, okay, I was married before, and that relationship ended in not a good way. And so I was on my way to Europe, and I had to get a divorce. because to close that chapter and not to leave that other person hanging, it was the right thing to do. And God is the one that helped me for it to happen, because this person was never going to serve God, and I have a calling in my life. So I was too young. I didn't know about God. I didn't know about serving. You know, I hadn't gotten born again. So anyway, I'm on the way to the court, and we go into the court, and I talk to the person at the counter. It was a long line of people getting divorced that day, and it's so sad, and I'm sure it's like that every day. And when I got to the counter, I said, ma'am, I said, I'm leaving for Europe. I'm leaving for Spain to study for a whole year. I said, and I need to process my divorce papers. They are here. It's a very simple situation. No property, no nothing. We can just go ahead and do this. And she goes, we've got like a 2-year waiting period. She said, we can't do this for you. And I said, ma'am, please, you don't understand. It's important that I am free. And by that time, Bill was already in my life, and I knew God wanted me to marry him and be with him. He was my rightful husband. And so I said, this has to happen before I leave. And she said, you know what? She goes, you can go upstairs. She goes, I'm going to give you the room number of the where they're processing the divorce papers today. She said, but the chances of you getting it, the judge is not a very good person, and the bailiff is even worse. She said, he's a very mean guy, and he's known for being a stickler. Nobody can get past him. To the judge, that guy is like a guard. So Lisa and I, she's 9 years old, the most beautiful little girl, full of God, just a total Christian. We go into the elevator, and I looked at Lisa. It was just me and her, and I said, Lisa, let's get in agreement for a miracle. I believe that God can give us a miracle. And she said, okay. So we prayed in the elevator, and we said, God, open the door for this to happen. We get up there. We go into the room that we're supposed to, and people were already leaving. The judge was standing up, folding his stuff and putting everything away. He's not going to spend 1 minute with someone that refuses to wait for 2 years. And so the bailiff, I asked who the bailiff was, and they go, why do you need to talk to him? And I'm like, I need to speak with him, please, because they knew his reputation. So the bailiff came over to us, and I said, sir, I explained the whole situation. He looked at me, and he goes, it's impossible. He's already leaving. And I said, please, sir, I need a miracle here, sir. Please, I have to leave for Europe, and this has to be resolved before I do. I'm going to be a student. And he looked at me, and he goes, young lady, if you are lying to me, you are under perjury, and you will be in a lot of trouble. He said, you better be telling me the truth. And I said, sir, I have my passport. I can show it to you. I'm leaving. I'm going. And so he said, okay. He goes, stay here. Do not follow me. He walked into this gate, into where the big throne of the judge is. And he went up to the judge, and he told something to the judge. And the judge is looking at him a little sternly and like almost like shaking his head like, what are you talking about here? I don't do this kind of thing. So all of a sudden, I see the bailiff's face change. And I see him get tender. And since he was looking at me, he was no longer upset that I was interfering with their schedule. He ends up talking to the judge with that kind of demeanor. And the judge went like this. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, I'm having a miracle right now. And so I went up to the judge. I explained the situation. And he again warned me. He said, young lady, if you are lying to us, he goes, we have people waiting for years to go through the process. He said, if you are lying to me, this is not going to go well for you. I said, sir, I promise you this is the truth, and so on. And he looked at my papers real quick. He goes, I never do this. I go, I know. And so he looked at my papers, and he looked at me, and he goes, okay. He goes, I'm granting you your divorce. And he hit some kind of thing with a gravel, and then he signed the papers, and I was gone. That's the kind of favor you have. That's the kind of favor that Mary found in the eyes of God is what you have found. And especially because you are now his child. Start counting on the favor of God to open doors that no man can absolutely close. Once God sets things in motion, and we're going to see this, what God spoke in prophecy to these people, to Mary, to Joseph, and so on, came to pass. And the promises of God will come to pass for you if you can just believe, just trust. Amen. So she found favor with the Lord. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And just as the angel had prophesied, Mary became pregnant with Jesus through divine intervention by the Holy Spirit while she was pledged to Joseph in marriage. This supernatural and miraculous birth was fulfilling prophecy about the virgin birth of the Messiah. Jesus had to come through a pure lineage. It had to come through a holy lineage, through Mary's lineage and her heritage and Joseph's. It was ordained of God for it to be this way. This supernatural and miraculous birth was fulfilling prophecy about the virgin birth of the Messiah. Jesus was born of a woman in flesh, but was also born of the Spirit through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess who else experienced that miraculous birth? You did. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were born again in the Spirit. You went from death to life, and now you are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's the most remarkable thing to me that God set in motion something that we are partaking of now. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son." Isn't this beautiful, people? Oh. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures about the effect that Jesus had in coming to the earth. This is where we depart a little bit from the traditional, you know, the way Christmas is looked at a lot, even in Christianity. And God wanted you to understand the importance of why he came and what he brought with him. Amen? So the majesty and attributes of our King. And I love this picture because Jesus is all heart. Jesus is all heart. He will take the worst sinner and love him and clean him up and give him a whole brand new life. But while Joseph, now we're talking about Joseph, but while Joseph thought about these things, Mary had just told him, "I'm having a baby," and he's like, "I can't marry you. You know, you were pledged to me. You were supposed to be my virgin bride." And she said, "But it's the Son of God that I'm carrying. Who's going to believe that? I mean, think about that. If some woman told her husband, 'Honey, I'm pregnant, but it's the child of God.'" And she had to overcome so much in just explaining to him. So while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. To take to you Mary, your wife." Here's the first thing. "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son." Jesus is born of the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And we can look at that and say, he's all God. I mean, he was birthed by God, the Holy Spirit. So were we. So were we birthed by the same Holy Spirit, not in the flesh. We were born in the flesh, in water. But now we're born in the Spirit, as Christ was, with the same Holy Spirit that brought him into the earth. Number two, this is the second thing. "And you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This baby, this infant, came to save you, to save me from our sins. "He shall save his people from their sins." That means to deliver out of sin. We can have a life out of sin. we can live a new life without sin owning us. Because whoever you obey, you're that slave. You're that slave of. And so now Jesus did away with to deliver out of sin. We are no longer bound to sin if we don't want to be. Amen. We can be free from that. And to heal out of sin, and to protect and to heal them from the consequences of their sins. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because one sin alone can cause death. And how many sins do we commit on a daily basis? And still, God, in his mercy and his grace, keeps forgiving and forgiving. The blood of Jesus will never dry up on you.
Amen.
Anytime you need forgiveness, anytime you miss the mark, you can go to Christ and start believing in the goodness of God.
Amen.
You know, we grew up sometimes with parents that maybe were not very patient with us. Maybe that, you know, constantly avoided us or didn't treat us very well because we were messing up. Christ is the opposite. He has mercy and compassion on us when we fail, when we miss it. Amen? And he comes to heal and protect us from the consequences of our very own sin. It's remarkable to me. To preserve from hell. You are preserved from hell.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time, and I want a real reaction to that. You're preserved from hell.
Amen.
Because if that's not something for you to say an amen to, people, you don't want to know what's going on down there. I've asked Ben. Ben has a powerful testimony about hell. And one of these days, he's going to get a chance to teach it and to share it. And it's going to blow you away, people. I've read quite a few testimonies of people that went down there on purpose. God took them to come back and tell people what it's like. You don't want to ever go there. And if Jesus is your Lord, you don't even have to worry about hell at all.
Amen.
It's not a part of your reality.
Amen.
And then death and destruction. He preserves us from death and destruction. The wages of Romans tells us, I think Romans 8, that the wages of sin is death. Every time we sin, death could be injected into our lives, into us. But it isn't, because God is protecting us. His mercy and his grace is covering us from that. Believe me, I know this one well. And then number three, Luke 1:30, he will be great, exceedingly mighty. God, Jesus is great. He's exceedingly mighty. There is nothing he cannot heal. There is no person he cannot receive and give a new birth to. There is no miracle that he will not accomplish once we believe. Amen. So he will be exceedingly mighty. He is someone that you can go to at any point and get the help that you need. Amen. That's our Lord. And then number four, and will be called the Son of the Highest. The truest Son of God, as proven by his obedience to his Father. You know, our children demonstrate that they belong to us when they obey us. You know, when children are obedient, you know that that's your child. That's one of the key factors that comprises a real relationship, a real connection from child to father, from child to mother. And Jesus obeyed the Father even to the point of death. He knew what he was doing. Do you realize, people, that Jesus lived with God before he came to the earth? He was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings up there. God is God. God is supreme. Everything is under him. But Jesus was with the Father. And he had to turn back all his royalty and majesty in order to become a little seed in the womb of a woman and be born into this earth, people. He put himself completely into reverse of the place that he held in heaven. He's royal. He's majesty. He's everything that you could ever imagine of a person of great value. And yet, he put himself in reverse and reverse and reverse and became a seed in the womb of a... And he was born surrounded by animals in a manger during the winter when it was cold. He knew he was going to die on the cross. He knew what that meant. He knew that people were going to hate him as he walked through the earth telling him the truth, but he came. He had a purpose. He had a mission. Amen. And that's why Jesus was born. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, people, is that this beautiful person, this God, this magnificent, precious, loving God put himself in that, from owning everything into a seed in the womb of a woman. Amen. Number five, and the Lord God will give him the throne with power. The throne represents power, the monarchy, potentate, sovereignty, and his rightful seat at the throne of his father David. When we get up to heaven, or after Jesus comes for us in the rapture, we're going to behold the Lord Jesus sitting on the throne. He has been given the throne, people. And number six, and he will reign, which means rule and be king over the house of Jacob forever. Number seven, and of his kingdom, of his royalty, realm, rule, there will be no end. God will never end. There is no beginning to God. There is no end to God. He always was, and that's why he is God. There will never be an end to his kingdom, to what he's going to be doing with us when we get up there, people. We're not going to be up there playing harps sitting on a cloud. It's a real place. It's like a planet. And we're going to be building. There's people building homes right now for us for when we get up there. People that love to do that kind of thing. If Steve was up there, which many years from now, he's not even going to enter that. But if he was up there, he would already be setting up projects and let's do this one this way. And people that love that kind of thing, they're preparing for us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But there will never be, in other words, don't ever be afraid that, can God handle this? Is he still around? His kingdom will never end. You can always go to him. Amen. Praise God. So all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God, which is, so she had the baby. And then number eight is God with us. And that is so beautiful. When I looked it up in the Greek, it said that God with us means accompanying and in the midst of. God is accompanying you now. God, 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 he's in your home, believe it or not. He's probably in some corner in some of these houses, you know, because he's not allowed to have expression too much, but he's in your house. He's in the midst of you. You are never without God. Wherever you go, when Brian left, oh my gosh, talk about a faith project for me. He moved to the other side of the country by himself. And he survived by himself. And I remember, I'm like, Lord, why does it have to be? At first it was Georgia. Why does it have to be Georgia? Why can't he serve you here? And then you know what he told me? He said, I'm there too, Eva. God is everywhere. Amen. You don't ever have to be afraid of your children. You don't have to be afraid of your mates. Just keep trusting God with them, because God is everywhere. Amen. God accompanies us. Tell the person next to you, God is accompanying you. Yeah, he's in the midst of us, people. Right now, he's here. He's ever present everywhere. He can fold time and space. He can be with one person and still be doing everything else all around the universe. That's God. That's who we're dealing with. We are never without hope. We are never without help. God is with us. And then the birth of Christ marked the reinstating of God's original will for mankind. Adam flipped God's plan for man and destroyed everything. Jesus came and flipped it back and restored everything. And it put a stop to Satan's reign of terror for those who would believe. God will stop the devil in your life if you can believe. If you can trust God, he will stop all the pain, all the suffering, all the trials, all the everything. And even when they do sneak in, because Jesus warned us, in the world you'll have much tribulation. He will help you through that trial. Recently, I have been overcoming miracle after miracle after miracle, people. And every single time, God has pulled through miraculously. Miraculously, you've just got to believe. He can stop Satan in your life if you can believe.
Amen.
God initially created us to be his very own family. That's why you're here. Do you realize? Okay, for us women, we can see this a little better. When a woman is pregnant, that baby is your joy. It's something precious, and you can't wait to meet them and to see them. God created you. That's why we should never judge people. That's why we should never look and say, oh, they're not very pretty or they're not very handsome. Dude, God delighted in creating that person. We ought to love one another as we are because that's how God created us. Amen? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So we are his family, his offspring, his beloved children. That's the reason you were created. I hope you understand that. If you don't understand that, you're going to miss an entire reality of beauty and grace and power and might. If you think you're here just to struggle and to suffer and to build a little kingdom and to do your little thing, first and foremost, recognize that you are a child of God. You are his offspring, and that's why you're here. Amen? The fall destroyed and obliterated this divine, profound connection we had with him because we were no longer innocent. We were no longer his children. It was God who once again pursued us and found a way to release us from a counterfeit reality. Before Christ, people, you were living a counterfeit reality. No, you don't understand. I was very successful, and you don't understand. People really loved me, and I was very popular. I was a celebrity or whatever. You don't understand. Before Christ, that's a counterfeit reality. You are now supposed to be upturning what we thought was life to what God says is life. Amen? God sent his son as the only hope for this world and for all of mankind. God sent our complete salvation incarnate in that tiny, precious infant. Because before his birth, we were completely and utterly condemned, and our fate was sealed. Man now found himself consumed by total evil, darkness, fear, and from the curse of the law and its destructive, nefarious effect. For we had traded God for Satan. That's what happened to man. We chose another God. We chose to believe another God. Isn't this a beautiful picture? So innocent. I love these pictures because something so pure and innocent ended up becoming our sin. He became our sin. He didn't just take our sin. He became the things that we have committed. He became on that cross. When man departed from God, sin entered, and we were alienated from the life of God from then on. The effects of sin were now eternal and far-reaching, even into every coming generation. Think about that, people. Families that are not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of, they're giving birth to generations that are inheriting the curse of the law, fallen man, sin. So kids, listen to me. Children, I don't like the word kids. Young people, listen to me. If your parents are born-again believers, you need to thank God every day for that because they stopped a curse coming into your generation and the following generations. Everything follows three generations down. Three generations down. So even though you're a young person here, three generations down, you're going to be affecting for the good or the bad. Understand that. But with a zealous determination to bring us back to our Father God, Jesus became our divine connection once again. Jesus saw the unspeakable pain of the Father when men fell. Jesus was right there with God as they watched Adam do what he did. God has lost us to his enemy. He was there with God. Jesus was there with God and saw Adam commit high treason, rebellion, complete betrayal, and total disregard for God's position as the ultimate potentate of the entire universe. That's what happens, people, when we think we know better than God. We are setting ourselves above the throne of God. He is our magistrate. He is our potentate. He is our sovereign God. And when we think we know better, I mean, it's just wise to ask his counsel in things and in life. Amen? The Son knows the Father. He loves the Father entirely. He came without hesitation because he knew that paving the way for peace between God and man had to happen for God's ultimate, for God's absolute joy to return. Think about Jesus, guys. He's seen the Father devastated, and God has feelings. He can get angry. He can get hurt. He can get frustrated. That's where we got our emotions from. Amen? And think about that. Jesus is watching the Father devastated that his beautiful creation, his beautiful children that he has done so much for, have completely spit on the one commandment. Don't eat of this fruit. Don't eat. Amen? And think about Jesus and saying, I'll go, Father. I'll reverse this for you. This is not what you want. This is not how things should be. Amen? Amen? The Father's beloved Son, the King of Kings, the absolute Lord in heaven, was sent. And the King was now hidden in the body of an infant. I don't know how many kings would do that. You want me to go into a tiny body and be born in a stinky, smelly barn? Is that what you want? But he was so humble and he loved God so much. With his very birth, Jesus began to pierce the veil of obscurity that had seized the whole world and mankind. His body was tiny, but the light in him was pure and brilliant as that of many suns. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When we walk with Christ, we are no longer in darkness. People, before I got born again, I had a very tender heart for Jesus since I was a little kid. I mean, little, in first grade. We weren't allowed to have friends, so I would walk to school by myself. And my brothers were too cool to walk with their little sisters, so I had to walk by myself. And Jesus became my friend. I would talk to him, and I would thank him for everything. I was a tiny little kid, and as I grew up, then I went into the convent trying to serve him. But I will tell you that before I got born again, I would experience periods of darkness that was incredibly frightening. This darkness was so huge inside of me. I would weep. And I would say, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so dark? We ought not to feel that way anymore. The King of Kings is living inside of us. Amen. He is the light of the world. He should be lighting you up. People should, when you go to the grocery store, people should notice you and realize, oh my God, there's something different about this person. They should smile when they see you. Amen? Because the light, that light ministers to people. It ministered to me. It changed my entire world when the light came in. Amen? Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Number 9. And the government, the empire, the rule, the administration, the control and direction of existence will be upon his shoulder. This little baby was assigned to be the government of the universe, of heaven, of earth, of us. That's what he came with on his little shoulder. He came with that responsibility. 11, wait, let me see. 9, oh, I think I skipped a number. Number 11. And his name will be called Wonderful. Look at the names. People, it is time for us. Most of you are actually there, but it is time for us to walk away from religion. Because religion told us that God is mad at us, that God's going to punish us. Look at the names that describe the Son of God. And Jesus would always say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was an example of God walking in the earth. Look at what how God is described. And his name will be called Wonderful, which means a miracle, a wonder, and a marvelous thing. Counselor, one who deliberates, resolves. You have a problem? Go to Jesus. He's your counselor. He will resolve what you're going through. Amen? God just spoke to me, Pastor, and said, that includes your building. He's going to find a building for us. We need a home, Father. Thank you. One who deliberates, resolves, advises. God will give you advice. Oh, my God, the things he has spared me from. And when I don't listen to him, I pay the consequences of not heeding his advice. Determines. Jesus determines. He guides and gives purpose. If you are aimless and you don't know what to do with your life, if you feel like you're lost all the time, you feel like you're being left behind, go to him for your purpose. Your purpose is magnificent. Your purpose is something you're going to love. With God, you love what you do, and you do what you love. That's God. Amen? Can I have a smile? I think I just became British. Okay. And also Mighty. His name is Mighty, which is powerful, warrior, mighty champion, and valiant one. That's what Jesus is. No matter what happens in this world, people, that's who we're dealing with. Someone that's all powerful, a warrior, a mighty champion, and a valiant one. That's your God. That is your God. We have so many testimonies of God saving our lives and the things that he's done because we rely on him. He is our protection and our safety. Amen? Praise God. And then, and he is God, which, mighty God. And the word God means the almighty, strong, and powerful. And then everlasting, which means eternal, everlasting, and perpetual. He's an everlasting father, which is chief, patrimony, principal, and prince of peace. And here, the little women libbers out there need to understand that God is a patriarch. We are under a patriarch, a patrimony. He is the man of the house. He is the man of heaven. He is the man of this earth. Amen. Praise God. And he's also the prince of peace. And the prince of peace is this. Prince is a head person of any rank or any class. He's the captain that has rule. He's the chief. He's general. He's governor. He's keeper. He's lord. He's taskmaster. He's the ruler and steward. That is who Jesus is. That is who we're dealing with. When he speaks something, it's final. It's decreed. And when we stand on his word and we proclaim his word, it is done. Because he is all of this. He's the prince. He's the head person. You're not going to get any higher than that. Okay? And then peace. What is peace? Shalom. Danny Robichek, many of you know him. We used to fellowship with him quite a bit, and he would tell us that in the Jewish culture, the word shalom is one of the most powerful words you could ever hear because it encompasses every aspect of human existence. Peace means to be safe. You are going to be safe. You are going to be safe. And then well, you will be well. I'm well. I'm doing well. Happy. You can be happy. Friendly. God is friendly towards us people. He's not angry with us anymore. Welfare, health. There you go, health. Shalom is health. And this is what he's prince over. which means if he's going to direct and legislate as the prince, it's yours, amen? So prosperity, no need to lack. That's something that took us a while to learn and to understand. We came back, both of us came from very meager beginnings, and, you know, prosperity was something that eluded us greatly, and God, in his covenant, upturned all of that. Amen? You don't have to suffer lack. You can ask God to change your world, to change you. Amen? So prosperity, peace, actual peace. Our home is very peaceful. I pray your home is very peaceful. The Prince of Peace should be able to live in that home with you. Amen? Do not close the door on him as the Prince of Peace, people. Don't get used to living in chaos and arguing and fighting and discourse. That's not the way of God. That's from the counterfeit reality. So peace, favor that opens doors, people. Oh, my God. I've seen, it gets almost embarrassing. I've seen God bend people that were like rude and, you know, mean. And right in front of you, they change before your eyes because we walk in the favor of God. Amen. I always claim favor with you guys. I claim favor with this church, that you guys would give us place, that we would be able to help you and love on you. Good health. Peace is good health. You are entitled to have good health. Amen. I don't know of many people that are experiencing good health. Another translation said great health. I don't know how many people are experiencing great health, but we have a right to that. Amen. Don't give up. And you know, this whole thing about aging, you're going to age. You young people, one day you're going to age. It's happening. It's coming. It's just right in the horizon. It's happening. And for us that are older, there's no reason in the world why we have to subject our bodies and give up our bodies because we're older now. We have to keep fighting the good fight. Amen. We have to say, no, I'm not going the way of the curse of the law. I'm going to stay youthful and young because the Lord renews my youth like the eagles. Amen. Praise God. So good health, perfect peace, rest. Some of you need to rest in God. I see the machinery working on your face. You know, your face tells your story. And some of you said, oh my. Your face is telling the story of your life. It reflects what you're going through. You see someone all, you know, they're going through a hard time, amen? And you see someone all happy and relaxed, and you know they're going through a great time, amen? So you need to enter into his rest. Stop striving. Even if you are working hard and you are building things, especially in the name of God, stop striving and say, Lord, this is your thing. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy and your ability, amen? Praise God. And then safety, of course, you are safe from everything. People, let's not be afraid. You know, there's a lot of things happening in the world. We can be very afraid of for our children. We can be concerned, you know, that something could happen. You know, somebody could break into our house. No. Claim shalom and that you are in safety all the days of your life. Amen. You and your family. And then to be well. This is all the things that Jesus brought to us, people. Number 12, of the increase, the greatness of his government, which is the empire, and peace, which is shalom that I just explained to you, there will be no end, no failure. God's kingdom will never fail. In 1 Corinthians 13, what does it say about love?
Love never fails.
Love never fails. God never fails. He's never going to fail you. I have come to God right after being in sin. And don't try to guess what it was. That's between me and him. Right after sin. And I'll throw myself at his mercy. And God always pulls through for me. He picks me up. He forgives me. He cleans me up. And he sends me back on my way. That's who God is. He's just keeping us going. He's just loving us through everything. Amen? Praise God. Listen, I'm not giving anybody a license. Somebody thought this right now. I'm not giving anybody a license to just sin because God's going to forgive you. God's always going to forgive you. He has to. Jesus already paid for all your sins. He has to forgive you. But there are some sins that you will pay the price for. You will. Because remember, in Romans, it says the wages of sin is death. So we got to be careful of that. None of that's coming from God. God's here to help you get up. I have messed up. I told you guys over and over again, when we went through into the pandemic, I heard some things about stuff, and it caused a severe depression. It caused me to spiral. I got very concerned for people. I went into fear. My mind got jacked up and all of that. And through the whole time, God was a total gentleman with me. He never left me. He never judged me. He never accused me. He just was patient, and every time I would turn to him, he was right there. Amen? Praise God, people. There will be no failure upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. Number 13, to order it, confirm, direct, fashion it, and establish it. Jesus is the one, people, that's going to direct and fashion the kingdom, not us. That's one of the reasons why we got to get ready for the rapture, because we don't get to dictate, well, this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be. And especially, let's say you're given over to strife. That's not going to be admitted in heaven. You got to be a person of peace. You got to be a person that loves others. God doesn't need your rage and your wrath and your anger and your prejudices and your biases up there. That's why we've got to change, amen? Basically, we just got to grow up. That's all. That's all that needs to happen. And then to establish it, that means he's going to support, hold up, and strengthen his kingdom with judgment. That means pronounce judicially and through divine law. In other words, whatever God says, this is what's right. That's how Jesus is going to judge his kingdom. And justice. And justice means morally, virtue, and righteousness. That's how Jesus is. Everything is holy about God, people. Everything. He's going to rule in righteousness. He's going to establish his kingdom in righteousness. And then from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We're almost done. Now there were in the same... Oh, I can't see it up there either. In the same... Oh, thank you. Thank you. So... Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." See, people, the angels didn't come and say, "Look, I'm here to warn you guys, God's coming, and you guys better watch out, because he's going to get everybody that's not walking right." Look at what they said, how they pronounced. These are the angels announcing the coming of the Lord. Amen? The same with the rapture. Be excited. How is it that people are afraid of the rapture? If you love Jesus and you're born again, you're going. Amen. You are going. Say, "I'm going." Amen. Praise God. Monica, we need you up there. You got to sing worship up there. Okay. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Stop being afraid of God. You should be afraid of the devil, not of God. Amen. Oh, don't even. Oh. That's what happens when you live with prophets. They're like, "Don't be afraid of anything," is what they're saying. Yeah, he has not given us a spirit of fear. You're right, Bill. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Look at this. Good tidings of great joy. "For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Look at all the angels that came to pronounce to shepherds. Isn't God beautiful, people? He sent three magi, three wise men, three kings to bring gifts to the Lord. And then he also sent the angels to little shepherds. That was like the lowest form of making a living in those days. Shepherding sheep all day long out in the wilderness. And God appeared to them through his angels. And suddenly there was, just one second. And suddenly there was the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That is what God wants you to remember today. Let's say this together, people. Glory
to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Peace, goodwill towards all of us. You have peace and goodwill from God. What more can we want? Christmas is a time for giving gifts. What Christmas gift will you give Jesus this year? I want you to take a second and offer to him something in your life, whether it be, "Lord, I consecrate myself to you, I give myself to you," or, "Lord, I'm going to stop being a person of strife," or, "Lord, I'm going to stop being angry," "Lord, I'm going to stop being fearful," whatever it is. Let's take a second here and think about it. Let's close our eyes so that we can have this privacy with God. What is the gift that you're going to give him? Maybe getting in the Word more this year, maybe spending time with him, maybe being more loving. Okay. He heard it. And let's give him that gift. Amen. Let's return a little bit back to the Lord of an eternity of good that he's done for us. Merry Christmas and a very happy, healthy, joyful new year. Amen. Make this the best year of your life that's coming up. I started doing that about 15 years ago, and I'm not kidding you. My life keeps getting better and better and better. Right, Lupe? Right, Ruth? Just say, "Lord, I am going to have the best year I've ever had so far." And set yourself to receive the blessings, the goodness, the beauty of our Lord. Amen.